New Japan Pro Wrestling is so back! Are you out of the loop? You want to know what's happening before the rest of the Yankoid imbeciles? Want to find out who be the top guys in AEW in 2028?
Then listen to the Super J-Cast, premier authority of New Japan Pro Wrestling, that keeps Chris Charlton up at night.
We cover New Japan at every level, in the ring, the backstage politics, the cross-promotional drama, the history, and what it all means for the future, the good, the bad, and the great Okan.
And no company glazing PR here, no move-by-move recaps. Just brutally honest analysis, unrivaled contacts inside the company that put the rest of the wrestling journalists to shame, and quite frankly, irritating track records of being right before everyone else.
We broke the Okada story. We broke the Forbidden Door story. We've told you what was coming before, and we'll fucking do it again.
Super J-Cast, listen now. Then, in 3 years, pretend you knew it all along.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Rob McCarron.
Hashtag authority. Hashtag Steph Bouncy. Hashtag SmackDown 15.
Jeff Hawkins.
You done digging that hole?
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Dance on your grave, dirt sheet writer.
Welcome to Shake Them Ropes. It is a special date and time episode. Jeff Hawkins joining myself, Rob McCarron. We are going to discuss the WWE PLE Clash in Italy that just ended. We're going to discuss some other things ongoing with the WWE realm, including a little bit from the mask versus mask match from last night and AAA. And possibly get into some AEW and some other wrestling news. And at some point during the show, like this is how after the PLE we are recording, is we might get the brackets for the King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring. And we can live react to those as well. But Jeff Hawkins, I'm going to start with tonight's top story is, what do you think about the Pirates putting Carmen Majinski on the restricted list?
Oh, the Pittsburgh Pirates are a organization in trouble. That's all I'm going to say.
You could have stopped after. They are an organization.
They are a thing that exists. Yes.
They are a baseball team. They are a baseball team. But yeah, all joking aside, we'll get into some of the biz of wrestling. But sometimes these things in baseball, and sometimes it happens more in the NBA than any other, like, of the top four sports, is like, this is locker room politicking of the wrestling variety happening in our real sports. Carmen Majinski doesn't want to be a mid-carder anymore. He was riding high being on the top of the rotation, and is like, oh, I'm moving to the bullpen for a guy who hasn't pitched in a year. I ain't going down for this newcomer Cody Rhodes. No, I ain't. And then you get drama, backstage drama, to the point where now he's got to get fired and maybe go to the opposing teams, because all he does, he just doesn't want to be a mid-carder in this org anymore. Sometimes sports happens like this. The Giannis deal is Andre El Idolo and Aleister Black all over again.
Yeah, but sometimes it's the best thing for you. See Dennis Eckersley and John Smoltz. So I don't understand it, but okay. You can
baseball.
Argue.
Baseball, it's as pro wrestling as pro wrestling. But let's talk about pro wrestling. Let's get into the top stories from Clash in Italy. They went all the way to Italy to show 5 matches on television. I, again, watch this through the old VPN. We don't have a VPN sponsor, right?
No.
All right. Well, then unnamed VPN I watched with my Netflix account, because I'm sorry, ESPN, get on with it. You made this deal with YouTube TV, not even three months ago. I mean, this was late last year, right? This has been 7 months you made this deal. Let me watch some ESPN Unlimited already, because the only thing you got on there is WWE PLEs and the occasional baseball game, which I already get through MLB TV, that I had to pay you for. So come on, ESPN, let's get on with it. Did you watch this show through the ESPN, or are you also a little VPNer like myself?
I'm a VPNer like yourself.
Hooray to the VPNers out there. We should put that on a poll. We should run a poll. How did you watch this? If you're in the United States of America, did you watch through Netflix or watch through ESPN? And I'll get a comment like, you have to watch through ESPN. That's how you get in the United States. And I'm like, ha ha, watch these numbers. Watch these numbers come back 75-25 watching it on ESPN versus Netflix. I would beg to see that. But overall, before we get into the matches, Jeff Hawkins, your top takeaways maybe from Clash in Italy and overall presentation as reviewed by you.
I didn't enjoy this pay-per-view all that much.
Oh,
I gotta
my
be honest
gosh.
With you.
What?
I thought everything, nothing really felt like it clicked for a okay. lot of it, for a lot of it, not all of it. But my big takeaway is I can't believe they beat Oba Femi. I'm sorry. I just think that's a dumb move.
Yeah, I think because going into this, the odds, I mean, everything went according to what the preview, like if you are a betting site that takes WWE betting, you had the odds for every single winner tonight. They mm-hmm. were all the favorites. No underdogs won a match tonight. Brock Lesnar was a pretty big favorite. Honestly, there were other favorites that were not as big of a favorite as Brock Lesnar. I think everyone kind of understands the deal is that they were going to do a third match at SummerSlam. So you have to do the second loss here. But it killed the momentum. There were a couple of Michael Cole lines tonight too. It happened in the main event too, where he's like, I mean, is he straight up just saying this guy's done? Like, it's so weird. And he kind of did that with Oba Femi. Oba Femi is no longer a superhuman. Oba Femi has been made mortal. And like, Jesus Christ, guys, at some point, Brock Lesnar will be gone. Oba Femi will have won. And you got to make sure he's strong for the next thing. But yeah, it was a little surprising based on how they presented him so far.
Why do you have to make Brock Lesnar strong for the next thing? We already know he's strong.
No, Oba strong Oba? For the next thing. The next thing for Brock Lesnar is another match with Oba Femi.
No, I still don't. I am one of those people where you don't beat a guy until you have to beat a guy. And you beat him on a B pay-per-view for a best of three against a guy who's already been made and is in legend status instead of just building Oba and continuing to build Oba. This feels like back in the day, remember when you had to hear about, oh, so-and-so carries themselves like a star, so they decided to beat him on television to see how he'd handle it. I'm just like, no, you don't have, oh, he took 7 F5s. Okay, still lost. Still lost to Brock. When did Brock Lesnar first lose? How about we take a look at that and see what happens?
It's interesting you bring that up because, yeah, in the first run, it took a while. I think it was the match with Big Show, right, where Paul Heyman turned on him. And that happened 7 months after he debuted.
Yeah.
6 or 7 months after he debuted. But in Brock Lesnar's second run, which is this current run, you could say, where he came back after winning the US heavyweight or the UFC heavyweight title, he lost his first match. Like Brock Lesnar lost his first match upon coming back. Now, granted, it was to John Cena, and then he would go on the run where he didn't lose again for a while. But yeah, Oba Femi coming up and doing this gimmick where it's like, okay, we kind of have the next Goldberg, we kind of have the next Brock Lesnar all rolled into one. It's a little strange to be going back and forth
lost.
With Brock.
He shouldn't have lost until he fought for the World Heavyweight title, and even then he should have probably won the world title, but I would accept the loss in the top belt match. I don't accept this. I just think it's stupid. I'm sorry.
And it's a little interesting because there was no really Paul Heyman tricks.
No.
There was no like any type of interference going on, which in Brock Lesnar matches you don't always get unless he was wrestling Roman. You don't really get a lot of interference with Brock Lesnar. But yeah, there was nothing you could say, well, Oba still could have won, but Brock Lesnar was so desperate that he pulled something out. Brock Lesnar just won. He beat him. He beat his ass the entire time. And Brock Lesnar won the match. And now we're going to do a third somehow. And the third is just, and Brock Lesnar was forcing it at the end. It's like a 1+1, 1+1. We're 1-1. Almost like Brock Lesnar was laying the challenge to Oba that we got to do it again. So we're going to see it again. And we're not going to have to wait long for it because it's going to be, 2 months from basically today that it happens again at SummerSlam in Minneapolis. And he's like, yeah, if I can't win this series, I almost wonder if they'll do the retirement stipulation like outright, which I wish they would have saved that whole retirement angle at WrestleMania because that would have worked really well after a third match now in hindsight. But yeah, we could very well see a retirement stipulation to get that third match having when you don't really have to beg Oba for a match because Oba has these open challenges. You could just say, hey, I want another one. Oba will be like, yes, sir, let's do it.
The story they told is that he took an ass beating from Brock Lesnar, kicked out a few times, and still lost. It's just, I'm like, what? And you know what the net third match is going to be? It's going to be Suplex City, where Oba survives Suplex, like 30 back belly to back suplexes and then pins him. And I'm just like,
yeah, just, I mean, I hope, I hope not. I'm not trying to fantasy book here, but that's what they should probably do. What a lot of people thought they might do at WrestleMania is where Oba just wins in a minute and a half. I mean, that's where you should probably just be like, Obafemi ain't playing around now. Which again, maybe you should have saved the whole I'm here to kill him versus just beat him. Because Oba, you were there to beat him and it didn't work out for you. You were not there to kill him. We'll talk a little about one of the funnier things I thought about that match and wrap up with Brock Lesnar too. One of my strong takeaways, maybe not a strong takeaway from this particular night, but yeah, the overall on the pay-per-views, it's all chalk again. It kind of has been a lot. The days of the world title changing at an Unforgiven level pay-per-view where it's like, okay, Steve Austin could beat The Undertaker here. Undertaker could win. Kane could win. Who knows? Mankind could win. The days of like, oh yeah, Drew McIntyre can win when it doesn't happen. Jacob Fatu could win and it doesn't happen. It's like, no, if there's a plan for Roman Reigns for a while, you're going to have to wait to a SummerSlam. You're going to have to wait to a WrestleMania. The titles aren't changing hands on the Clash pay-per-views. They're not changing hands on the Money in the Banks. Now, one day they will, and it'll be a shock, and it'll be a surprise, and maybe that's what they're going for. But if you completely skipped Clash in Italy on television, you just watched Raw tomorrow night, it would be okay. And too many of the PLEs are starting to be that. It was an enjoyable show to me. I thought it, for 2.5 hours, for 3 hours, like, it was a fun show to watch. I would have watched it later on too, but I watched it live. Even hearing the results, I'm like, well, I would be interested in seeing Gunther and Cody Rhodes because we haven't seen that too much. I would be interested in seeing the second Brock Lesnar match because I still was curious what they would do. I'm curious to see if Sol Ruka is going to end her life on that stupid finisher she has again. But at the end of the day, it's all chalk. My takeaway is I don't need to watch Clash of Champions. I don't need to watch whatever Clash comes up next. I don't need to watch these shows, especially if they're happening at 2 o'clock on a weekend day. I don't need, these are not must watch events.
I think you got to my big issue. Now, I said I didn't enjoy this overall. I'm not saying that the wrestling was bad necessarily, because like Cody and Gunther was good.
Cody and Gunther was good. I mean, I'm glad I watched Brock Lesnar and Obafemi.
Yeah.
But you
never believed in any of the emotion of the non-chalk person, or even like, you knew Sol was going to win this after Saturday night's main event. What happened there, I thought.
Good guess. Honestly, the fact that they were so persistent that this match would happen and even risked like further injury to Sol Ruka, it's like, well, yeah, they clearly have a plan that's for her to win. Because otherwise you could push it back to a Raw if she was just going to lose.
Yeah, Sol and Becky were having, they didn't have as many issues as Rhea and Jade, but I mean, there was some timing stuff in there. And you know what? When you said it felt to you like they had lost faith in Jacob Fatu, I think they've lost a little faith in Sol Ruka because she can't do the high flying stuff consistently. And that's a death knell for those types of people on the,
when
on the
it's your finish,
roster.
She has to come up with a secondary finish and soon. And she's going to have to win some matches with it because there's a shelf life on the Soul Snatcher for sure. And it's not just because of age and athletic ability. There's a shelf life because someone will get hurt on that move, or it will just look too ridiculous on too big of a stage to where you're not going to be able to do that anymore.
Well, that and the handspring tope over the rope or whatever it is where she goes to the floor and she almost clipped the rope that time, and she's had knee surgery already. I mean, it's one of those things where it feels like, yeah, we brought her up and yeah, she was on a hot run in NXT hitting everything every time. And now there are times, I mean, like even on the springboard when she was going for the clothesline, she had to kind of wait for a second there. Becky had to wait for a second before she got the manhandle slam on her there. It was just, it's one of those things where the timing is off with all the Soul stuff from the other person. And so you don't get that same smoothness that you have in NXT when you're rehearsing it all week.
Yeah, we do have, we'll get to it in a moment, but the King of the Ring brackets have been announced. The Queen of the Ring brackets have been announced. So we'll get to that in a little bit here. So yeah, interesting pay-per-view. I mean, even with all chalk, like at least it gets us forward to the late summer of WWE. They still have a few of these European shows. Like Raw tomorrow is going to be literally in the morning your time. it's 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, live on Netflix. SmackDown will be during the day as well. Or, well, it'll be shown later, but it'll be during the day, so you could use your VPN to watch it live on Netflix as well on Friday. So they got some tours. They announced a Mexico tour coming up as well, with Raw and SmackDown going to Mexico City. AAA is going to have part of Triple Mania in Las Vegas, so they're getting a United States event as well again. So a lot of upcoming shows announced. Of course, all this leads to Clash of the Champions, which is going to be where King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring finals are held. And that's going to be in Saudi Arabia. But let's go through this this PLE that we had today, Clash in Italy. It did open up with Cody Rhodes versus Gunther. Good match. Cody Rhodes ends up winning. Despite the odds, the one match I thought could have been going against the betting odds was this one walking in. I almost could have seen Gunther. I know Cody Rhodes, you know, you have all these European tours and you have the Mexico tours. You want, you know, big babyface Cody Rhodes probably to be selling tickets on these and be a big top babyface. I feel like he could still do that even if Gunther wins. You could have had some type of interference. I thought maybe Randy Orton shows up here, possibly. But you got Cody Rhodes defeating Gunther in somewhat of controversial fashion, because Gunther's feet were under the ropes from the start. And I didn't actually see that when this Cody Rhodes gave Gunther the crossroads, and the angle we saw was opposite of Gunther in the ropes. So we saw Cody Rhodes hook a leg and then at the two count hook it even deeper. And I was like, well, that was kind of weird. Usually you don't see movement at the two unless it's a kick out. It was not a kick out. Cody Rhodes wins, and then all of a sudden, after what felt like an hour, we saw a replay where it showed Gunther's foot under the rope. So he's berating the referee. He's arguing with the referee. I got to figure this will come into play somehow, and we're probably getting right set to a rematch of Cody Rhodes and Gunther at some point. But Cody Rhodes is still your champion. 11 minutes, the match time for this undisputed WWE title match.
I can't believe they did that ending. That ending, Cody Rhodes got booed.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's going to start getting booed. Like, we talked about this going into WrestleMania and the European crowds especially, who were cheering Brock Lesnar over Oba, by the way.
Yeah. I just, it's such a crowd-killing thing. It's like, okay. And you'd think that Cody would go, I don't want it to end that way. We'll restart the match. And then maybe he loses because he's a moron. And that's fine, too. But I just thought, one way or another, we're getting a pinfall or some fuckery here, but you know, we didn't.
I guess when it's your first match, and this was also simulcast on ESPN, like main channel ESPN, the first two matches of the show. So maybe it was your way of, okay, Cody Rhodes, big star. Let's build some intrigue so people want to see what happens next with it. So they tune in to SmackDown, maybe tune in to the Clash on ESPN's app coming up later in June. You could be building it for a number of ways. And Cody Rhodes, also, the way he was hooking the leg, it's not like he saw the leg under there, too. So there's still some plausible deniability there. But, yeah, Cody Rhodes is probably going to start getting booed. And depending on the match he has, I mean, if he goes into the ring with CM Punk at a big show, he's going to get booed. Cody Rhodes will be the one getting booed. Kind of the same way that CM Punk was getting a little booze in his match at WrestleMania with Roman Reigns too, but I think the crowd would favor CM Punk over Cody. So yeah, we got a long summer ahead for Cody Rhodes as champion and seeing a possible switch there.
If Sammy is the opponent in Saudi Arabia, he's getting booed.
It could be the possibility, but not to spoil anything, but Sammy, Sammy Zayn is not, spoiler alert, in the King of the Ring tournament. He is
now, is that for definitely for Cody's title, or is that for your choice of?
Well, so what they did last time, right, is the winner of the King of the Ring would get a match at SummerSlam for the title.
Okay.
So yeah, I got to say that Sami Zayn probably not going to be in that picture.
Not at SummerSlam.
Unless the winner end up.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless the winner chooses to fight Roman Reigns, I guess you could say. There are some interesting names in this tournament. There are also some interesting names not in this tournament, I will say. And it seems very likely one of these four ways, by the way, you're going to laugh at when I tell you what it is. I hope you haven't looked it up already.
I have not looked it up. I'm just staring at your lovely face. Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to laugh at the foursome they've put together, for one of these first round matches, because they are all four ways. The opening round matches are going to be four ways. Then you get to the semifinals and then the finals. So there's only three rounds in the King of the Ring tournament, the first, the semis, and the finals. Same with the Queen of the Ring, and just looking at it very closely, there's a very interesting one, actually, that could play a part. Not so much in the way of like, oh, I don't know who could walk out of this. I think the winner's going to be obvious, but there's a very interesting one just with the names that are involved in there as well. But yeah, we'll get to those tournaments in a little bit. But yeah, Cody Rhodes, your champion, and they appear to still be going with Gunther. So we have the unfinished business with Randy Orton. We have Gunther still in the title picture, probably. We don't know what Drew McIntyre's doing. Drew McIntyre hasn't been around for a little bit. And then there's CM Punk, who said he was not going to leave and then left. And he hasn't been back since the night after WrestleMania. So there's a lot of questions on the SmackDown side of what could be happening. While at the other side, on the Raw, you know, we'll get to Jacob Fatu and Roman Reigns. But, you know, Jacob Fatu lost that match, the Tribal Combat match. Two losses in a row, and you did the big blow-off kind of gimmick with this one, so I can't see him still being in the title picture with Roman Reigns. Maybe Roman Reigns is off TV for a bit, which looks likely, before he wrestles whoever the winner of the King of the Ring tournament is, and then we go on to the next round of what's CM Punk doing. But the picture is muddy for CM Punk. The picture is muddy for different reasons for Cody Rhodes, and it's not that muddy for Roman Reigns. He just got the hell out of the pool.
Well, and also he set up the match with Solo, so there's that. He goes there next. So okay,
which yeah, great. I mean, Solo Sikoa just got done feuding with a group that no longer is employed with WWE and kind of been wasting away. Maybe they'll get him back to where he once was. I mean, this is a guy that beat John Cena on a PLE once.
Yeah, everybody's gonna be under Roman's control, and then we move on.
Thought he was gonna beat Roman Reigns once on a PLE as well.
Mm-hmm.
But he did not. Rhea Ripley, Jade Cargill. So this is going to be a fun one to discuss match-wise. Jade Cargill, for as athletic as she is, for as athletic as she looks, and I'm hoping this was just an all-time mastery sell job on her part, which we've never seen before. This match goes more than 5 minutes. She is huffing and puffing, man.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurts a little bit the end result, because there are some times where they do the back and forth, punches. They're like, yay, boo, yay, boo. And she is barely hitting her with her pinky finger because she looks so tired from just the nonstop action she's going through. The second longest match of the night tonight, Jade Cargill versus Rhea Ripley. Jeff, what'd you think? That's how she was sounding.
Yeah.
6 minutes in.
Why are we having Jade and Rhea do complicated I reverse, you reverse? It worked in the WrestleMania match. Let's leave it alone and just have these two brawl. Jade should be a brawler. She should not be doing complex gymnastics or even choreographed stuff for the most, in terms of, you know, with like going through the legs and out the back. And, you know, that's not her game, man. It just
especially when this is not AEW. Like, she doesn't have to do that shit just because the booker wants to see 12-minute matches of high-flying and spot fest.
Right.
This is WWE that just had Obafemi and Brock Lesnar go out there for 7 minutes and do nothing but F5s. Literally nothing but F5.
She should be female Bobby Lashley on the main roster, and instead they're trying to make her do do-si-dos and stuff, and she's getting, like, there was one where she's, like, halfway underneath Rhea's legs, and she's just kind of pumping her legs to get all the way under there to do the reverse, and you're just like, this isn't going well at all. And go ahead.
She should be female Bobby Lashley, but they're pushing her, and this is in WWE, pushing her like female Brian Cage, where it's like, you're bigger than everyone. You are a specimen, but you are trying to do lucha tit for tat with the high flyers.
Yeah.
You're trying to do lucha stuff. You're trying to do all this stuff. I'm like, if you look like that and you are taller than everyone, you're taller than Rhea Ripley, you're bigger than everybody, It's like, you don't have to be doing that stuff. The same way with Charlotte. Charlotte doesn't always have to do that stuff, and depending on her opponent. And now you're probably going to be seeing Jade versus Charlotte at some point. So it seems like Jade's kind of out of the women's title picture for a little bit, at least through SummerSlam. But it was very interesting. I thought some of the reversals were actually pretty cool, and she was hanging with them.
Some were cool, yeah.
But then other times, especially, I mean, she would go out of the ring and just kind of be lost a little bit. And I started to wonder, like, just because we had seen her lost in so many matches in AEW, like, do we just notice that more when it looks like she's lost and we claim she's lost and confused on what the next spot is because it was her past and her reputation? Or is she actually still lost out there? Or are we getting all worked? Because there are some times where she is hanging toe to toe. And then other times where I'm thinking, like, if I'm Triple H, how do you trust her to do a 17-minute match in front of a large crowd?
I think she gets lost in matches she's not calling. I think that's probably part of it here.
And she can't call matches because she's not as experienced to call them.
Right. And the other thing, what you put was, it's almost like somebody backstage signed Jade, they brought her in, they cooled down on her after the first run, and then they looked at her and goes, you need to prove that you're a good wrestler now, as opposed to the specimen showcase, bigger than everybody, jacked powerhouse. Because probably somebody said, well, she's not as big as China or something like that, and just, or something dumb. And it's like,
biggest China.
Well,
China
know,
wasn't,
I mean,
doing reversals and all that shit either.
No, exactly. But that's the point. Is that they don't want to market her like that. They want to market her as, yeah, she's this specimen, but yeah, she's also a really good wrestler. And I'm just like, that second half doesn't need to be in there because she's a specimen and she can talk and she's a star. So why not just have her be a brawler? It's one of those things where I'm watching this and I'm just going, this is, they gave them time and that, I mean, she wasn't, I mean, your point is even better because, like, at the end, she's not going up for much very high, and Rhea's thinned out a little bit, so her strength isn't what it used to be, so she's like halfway up and dropping her.
I was worried because, yeah, Jade Cargill was a little tired, it looked like, to fully go up, to fully push up for Rhea Ripley's finisher, and she was like just muscling her up. It was a very interesting match for a lot of different reasons. Like, this is the one where I'd be like, if you didn't watch the show, go watch it to kind of see what we're talking about. It's 17 minutes. It was long. It was probably, these pay-per-views, 6-minute match for Brock Lesnar, 11 minutes for the world title and Cody Rhodes, 14, Becky Lynch and Sol Ruka got a good amount of time. This was actually one of those PLEs where the match times were a little bit longer because some of those WrestleMania times were all under 10 minutes.
Let me ask you something about the match, though.
Go for it.
So when Meechan and B-Fab come out and that foot on the rope spot gets botched, do you think the referee has to call it as a shoot when he saw her just go in the ring and grab the leg and go, okay, you're out of here? Do you think there was possibly some more stuff that had to happen there? Or do you think just Charlotte coming in and just cleaning him out was the plan? And that,
yeah, no, I think it was probably executed well. It's okay. It's B-Fab and Meechan being the backup for Jade, but not the best backup for Jade, which is what the gimmick always has been. Jade has this backup just because those are the only people. They are riding Jade to the top because they are not good enough to ride to the top themselves. So you have these goofballs who don't know what they're doing in the background. I wish they'll play up this story at one point. But yeah, these are the lackeys who are true lackeys in like these movies that are just dumb as fuck.
I felt so bad. I felt bad because it looked like Jade was supposed to get her foot up there on her own, and then she took it off, and he's at two, and B-Fab realized, oh, God, I got to get that foot back on the ropes. And so she's, like, jumping in the ring to grab the foot.
Well, sometimes I think about that, too, is, like, Jade forgets spots, so she's like, well, I got to get my foot on the ropes. Oh, shoot, I needed someone else to put my foot on the ropes, so I'm going to take it off.
And then she pulled it away too far, and you're just like, oh, no.
Because I really do think she's in the time of her career. Like, not everyone is Logan Paul. Not everyone is Kurt Angle.
Right.
She's in the time of her career where it's like, I'm thinking about the next spot and I can't think about three spots ahead. Like, I'm not there yet. But she's been doing this for a while. This is one of those where it's like, I take Jade off TV for a little bit, maybe. Like, not, you don't have to do it right now. You can do it off. Have her go to the Performance Center and work 20-minute matches every 2 days.
Okay.
Like literally 20 minute matches for 2 weeks straight. She's just working 20 minute matches every other day, you know, twice a weekend if you want to just do like the house show schedule. But have her go in there, have her be forced to call a match, have her be forced to put together a match. Do it on NXT house shows, do it somewhere where she is getting better. And maybe now with the US house shows coming back and you got some of these European shows, now is the time where you can have her go out there and do 15 minutes with somebody, and not a Rhea Ripley either. Like, have her go out there and be like, Jade, you are the star. You are wrestling me, Shin. She knows what to do. She knows what she's doing, but you're calling the match. Put it together with her beforehand. Don't practice any spots. Go out and call it to make sure everyone's on the same way. But no, I really want someone to just tell her, Jade, you are the bad bitch here. Mm-hmm. If something's not going right, just pummel the fuck out of whoever your opponent is and get back to it.
Yes.
Just get back to it. Don't worry about what the next spot was. Pummel the hell out of her.
Yeah.
She's down. And then try to regroup. Use the ref for help. Just go learn a little bit about what to do when one little thing doesn't go quite right.
Yeah, and she had Danilo in there, who's the best women's ref they have, but it's like she gets lost on the script, and then...
Speaking of best women refs they have,
Jessica Carr is good, too.
The gimmick is that you have strife with the champion, maybe you stop whoever the head referee is these days, which I think it's Bennett. I think it's Sean Bennett would technically be like the Mike Chioda of our generation. But there's no like true ref who always gets the main event. Rod Zapata gets a lot of the main events. So whoever the lead ref, whoever the Earl Hebner and the Mike Chioda of our time is, it's like, if I'm Michael Cole, why do we keep putting Jessica Carr in these matches? Even if she's not doing anything wrong, why are we creating the strife? Why is Jason Harding, Jason Ayers, not in the match, and you put Jessica Carr in the main event? Why do we keep building up this strife?
It's like Steve Mazzagatti whenever he'd get like main events in the UFC, and Dana White could not stand that guy because he'd always think he'd stop the match too early. And it's like, well, then why are we putting him in the main event all the time?
Why do we keep doing it? Yeah, it's Earl Hebner. It's the Triple H Chris Jericho angle with Earl Hebner, where Earl Hebner would always get Triple H matches after that. It's like, everyone, maybe just sit him out this one. It's not a punishment, right? It's not, I mean, you could have had Jessica Carr in the world title match. That's not a punishment, taking her away from the Intercontinental title match, but it is just hilarious that we see her every time. And it's like, yeah, you're not doing anything wrong, but maybe we'll just move you to make sure there's no impropriety or air of impropriety on here. And Jessica Carr again got the Becky Lynch Sol Ruka match. And, I know that one's not next. I know that one's not next, but let's get into it.
It's a rib on all of us because people are convinced, oh, this is leading to a match with Jessica Carr and Becky Lynch. Nope, she's just going to keep getting Becky Lynch matches. I need to see at least something from like Nick Aldis or something, bringing her in and going, look, I'm trying to help you by squashing this beef between you and talent, because otherwise I can't have a referee working here who I can't use in every match, or whatever you want to do for
it. It's not, this isn't you. It's me. All right. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure that I don't even have the brief, look of impropriety going on.
Right.
I got to put you're promoted. You're going to get the women's championship match, and we're going to put Danilo in here. And see if it really is, not even, you don't even have to go this far. See if it really is Becky or not. No, we're just changing it up a little bit because Jessica Carr in every Becky Lynch match, she was here in this Becky Lynch match, Sol Ruka as the betters and the bookers thought Sol Ruka wins the Intercontinental Championship in a 14 minute match. No crazy misses unless I miss something. This one went pretty well in the ring. Sol Ruka is the new Intercontinental Champion. But yeah, Jessica Carr got a little bit involved, you know, not to the extent of the lead up to WrestleMania. But she was like, Becky, we're not going to do this again. Well, Nick Aldis, if you weren't going to do this again, why are you putting her in the main event? Why are you putting her in this match? Why are you putting Jessica Carr in this one? There's a lot of things that could have gone better, with the referee assignments, I will say. But yeah, Sol Ruka is the Intercontinental Championship. Are we going to see another Becky Lynch match here soon, or is Sol Ruka finally moving on?
I think we get through one pay-per-view and she loses it.
She's losing before SummerSlam?
No, I would say right after SummerSlam. I think she gets through SummerSlam and then loses it.
Because I kind of believe that there might be a Saturday night's main event
in Madison Square Garden in July 18th. Yeah,
that's right. July 18th, Madison Square Garden. Could also see like maybe an AJ Lee match happening at that show if she wants to come back so soon. But yeah, Sol Ruka has two opportunities to potentially lose the championship. I don't believe she is in, let's see, Sol Ruka. Sol Ruka is going to be in the Queen of the Ring tournament, so it's possible that she doesn't even defend the Intercontinental title before SummerSlam or even afterwards. So yeah, we got some time here where Sol Ruka is going to be focused on something else. And very potentially Sol Ruka possibly winning that four-way. We'll get to the four-way matches here in a second. But yeah, Sol Ruka, the Intercontinental Champion. Where does Becky go from here then?
World.
Back to the world title?
On the probably, side, yeah. I would think. Could be,
because her Queen of the Ring pairing is quite interesting as well.
Sol came up a little bit short on the handspring, and they actually said that she glanced Becky on that. But yeah, other than that, there were no.
It's going to happen.
There wasn't anything as bad. There wasn't anything as bad as the Soul Snatcher to Jessica that was on Saturday Night's main event or whatever. But yeah.
Which honestly, and I don't even think it was that bad. Like obviously, this is a late take, but
right.
I watched that back, and especially in editing afterwards, like
they hit it well. I thought
the thing is too, like Sol Ruka didn't hit the Soul Snatcher correctly on Jessica. Well, Sol Ruka had plenty of time to see that Becky moved out of the way. She wasn't going for the Soul Snatcher anyway. She was just trying not to crash and burn. And right. In her crashing and burning, she took out Jessica Carr. Like, so be it. Like, not everything has to be a perfect move when you see your opponent move 2 minutes before it happens.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about Brock Lesnar, Obafemi. Brock Lesnar wins the match, forces dead on into the camera afterwards, is, you know, repeating into the camera, 1+1, 1+1, we're 1-1. So we're getting a third match there, likely at Minneapolis. I wonder very well if this could even be... I don't think you put this one in the main event of a night at SummerSlam. Because again, I think you should really just do the Obafemi kills Brock Lesnar and gets it done in 90 seconds. It doesn't have to be, you know, 15 of his finishers. It can just be a total massacre. Who knows? But watch, we're going to get 8 minutes of Brock Lesnar hitting every F5 before Obafemi just somehow finds a way out. One thing I thought of was hilarious in this match was the count out gimmick they did in the middle of the match or kind of towards the end of the match. F5 onto the table, onto Obafemi. Obafemi's down. Brock Lesnar gets back in the ring. Paul Heyman's telling the ref to count. They're hoping they're to sneak out of this match with a count out victory. Obafemi's down, and at the count of 7, he's selling death. 1 through 7. Doesn't even sell up and then quickly dive into the ring. Obafemi just stands up and is like, not even brushing off, but nothing happened to me. I'm just standing up. I was just kind of resting for a little bit. Stands up, slowly walks into the ring before 8 even, I think, and then goes on offense. Charges at Brock Lesnar a bunch of times before being caught in an F5 and suffering defeat at the hands of Brock Lesnar. I thought that was kind of a funny spot, and I get you want to make him look like a monster, but at the same time, he had just taken all these F5s. He's clearly fine, and one more F5 puts him down for the count after all that deluge of moves onto Brock Lesnar. I thought the match was not as good as the WrestleMania encounter. The crowd was different too, because they were kind of in favor of Brock Lesnar. They were happy Brock Lesnar won. We are going to get a third, likely at SummerSlam. Although I could also see this happening. I know it's in Minneapolis. It makes sense to do it there. I can see this one main eventing a Saturday night's main event in Madison Square Garden too.
Yeah, as to that spot, what it needed was the AEW fighting spirit roar, I guess, before going into the ring, and then he loses on the last finisher because, he just stands up, walks into the ring. I just went, what was that?
Stands up and just walks on in there.
I wonder if somebody, like, turned to the agent in that match and went, what was that? I don't know, man. I told them to wait till 7. We didn't tell them.
We're going to get an Unreal. We're going to get that whole match in WWE Unreal in the next season. It's going to be Joseph Park. Like, I told him to slowly get a loss.
Yeah. Told him to wipe himself off. I told him to do something. Instead, he just stood up and walked into the ring.
Your main event, Roman Reigns, Jacob Fatu, Tribal Combat going nearly a half an hour. And we had Roman Reigns winning. Not a lot of bullshit in this one either, huh?
No. It's like, and also they just had to go out of their way to prove, to say, oh yeah, there were people on the internet saying Jacob Fatu was hurt, but did you see that move? Ha ha ha, internet, go screw yourselves. It's like, you don't need to do that stuff. But yeah, just the injury. If the hand was going to be a story, I think the hand should have been a story throughout the entire match, as opposed to just when the toolbox came out. But that's me. Straight ahead, Jacob loses. Now he has to serve. I assume he'll not do it willingly, but we'll see. That's it, though.
Yeah,
it's not very interesting. It's just, okay, what's the next chapter to the next match?
This was the blow-off as far as Jacob Fatu going for this particular title. Roman Reigns is going to have some time off. He's not needed until SummerSlam. He's really not needed at SummerSlam, to be honest, but I'm sure he'll be on it. Because, yeah, you have the King of the Ring matches taking place for the shot at him. So, yeah, SummerSlam is going to be him probably versus whoever the winner of the King of the Ring is. And based on some of these four ways, I think we can all... We all might be able to see. Let me, when we go through these King of the Ring matches, I immediately saw a path to victory for someone and then an easy way to SummerSlam taking on Roman Reigns. So I think Roman Reigns is going to be the one, because also on the SmackDown side, there's so many potential challengers that why do you need to muddy it with a King of the Ring winner? But yeah, Roman Reigns wins. That is your pay-per-view. I give it 8 out of 18 stars. No, I don't know. My scale is way off. It was a good show. I mean, I didn't hate watching it. Because I'm watching it on Netflix with a VPN, there are breaks, 4 minutes long of just nothing, just a screen that says, we will be right back. So the presentation on Netflix is not great for the international viewers, because literally it's match, video package, break for 4 minutes, and then another video package, either a match or another break. There's a lot of commercial breaks in there that last a lengthy amount of time, going nearly 4 minutes, if not more than 4 minutes.
Okay.
It's lengthy. It's lengthy. And you should know, you watched it via an unnamed VPN. Someone, yes. If you're a VPN company, sponsor us and we will sell the hell out of your VPN. That is your Clash in Italy on the after show, which is happening right now as we record this. We got the brackets for King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring, with the finals taking place at Night of Champions, which is less than a month away, June 27th, going to take place in Saudi Arabia. So let's go through. Do you want to go through King first or Queen first?
Let's go through King. I have it up right now.
Okay. But don't look at these Queen ones. I want to surprise you.
Okay.
Or you can look at them. Just, if you want to be prepared like a responsible professional, then go ahead and look at it.
Okay.
Our first round matches, so these are going to be four different four ways. I'm assuming not elimination. I would assume first pin matters. But we are going to have Obafemi in there against Solo Sikoa, Carmelo Hayes, and the Intercontinental Champion, Penta. This one's interesting for the fact that Oba's going to be in there with the Intercontinental Champion. And Oba, I assume you want to kind of keep him strong. I think he's going to dominate this and probably beat Solo or Carmelo in this, but that is your first four-way happening most likely tomorrow or today if you're listening to us on Monday morning, happening on Raw. These matches kick off on Raw this Monday, with matches also happening on SmackDown and then further Raws and SmackDowns going forward. Thoughts on the first four-way, Penta, Oba, Solo, and Carmelo?
So the winner of Night of Champions gets the title match at SummerSlam or at...
That's right.
Okay. Because I was thinking...
Well, this is what happened last year, right? Is the winner got the title match at SummerSlam. I believe that is what happened. King of the Ring, they also receive... Yeah, it's a title match at SummerSlam.
Why was I thinking Saudi Arabia then? I don't know why, but...
Well, because the event is in Saudi Arabia. The finals will be in Saudi Arabia. And then the winner of that gets the title match at SummerSlam. This is what happened with Gunther. Gunther got the title match with CM Punk by winning.
Yeah. I could see Solo Sikoa winning this and just having like Femi being double teamed by Penta or like fighting Penta for some reason on the outside during that time. I mean, Femi.
I could see some Brock Lesnar bullshit. I mean, Brock Lesnar's in town. It's the same city tomorrow. He could stay in for one extra day and cause some Obafemi and maybe challenge him for, like, what are you in this tournament for? I have plans for you for SummerSlam. You don't need to be in this tournament. I could see some Brock Lesnar bullshit.
Yeah, just due to the fact that it ended with Roman pointing at Solo and go, they're next. I think Solo wins this one.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. And let's see. King of the Ring is actually Cody Rhodes who won, and then Cody Rhodes got the title match at SummerSlam, which he which he would go on and wrestle. Because, yeah, that was your Randy Orton, Cody Rhodes. Last year at King of the Ring was Randy Orton, Cody Rhodes, and then that ended up being your WrestleMania main event anyway, so... yeah, the finals will take place. You think Solo might win that? I could see if anyone's going to win that isn't Oba, it's going to be because of some bullshit.
Right.
And a four-way, you can do that. You can have a four-way end up in, as they say, some of that bullshit. It would make for an interesting second and a semifinal match if Solo were to win, because your second qualifier to go on and face the winner of the first one, Dominic Mysterio, Bron Breakker, Trick Williams, and Damian Priest. So you have a whole lot of heels in this group. Because, I mean, I haven't watched SmackDown religiously. Is Trick Williams still a babyface or a heel?
Good question.
Still a heel, I should say. He's kind of a tweener, right?
Yeah, and boy did I screw this up, because I thought the finals was a four-way to go. No, it's a
the finals
thing.
Is not a four-way. After the first round of four-ways, it is all one-on-ones until we get to the finals.
I think
and
Trick
then the
Williams,
finals will be one-on-one.
I think Trick Williams is winning this one. I could see, I mean, part of me could see Braun winning this too. I mean, that's who I'm deciding between, is Braun or Trick Williams. So
very interesting to put Braun back in a singles tournament like this when he's the tag team champion now that Logan is out. I would have thought Braun would kind of be, this is an easy time for you to step these single guys away from the singles matches so it doesn't hurt them to lose. Like, it's a perfect time to take Bron Breakker out of there. It was a perfect time to take Penta out of there because he's the Intercontinental Champion. Honestly, it makes sense to have Oba in there. I assume at some point, whether it's in the finals in Saudi Arabia, whether it's the first round, Brock Lesnar will get involved with Obafemi and cause him to be taken out of this tournament. I don't know when it'll be, but it's got to happen.
Let me backtrack. I'll put Oba in the first one. I'll actually say Dominic Mysterio sneaks out of this one.
There you go. Yeah, because I can tell you, you want to see ratings on Netflix for a Raw? Tell me it's going to be Oba versus
Oba
Dominic.
Obafemi versus Dominic. Yes. Yes. Do you risk?
I don't think we risk crowds in the United States getting kind of over Obafemi right now, but I wonder if, because if that second match takes place still on this European tour, because the European tour lasts for another month, I wonder if the crowds might be a little bit more into Dominic Mysterio than an Obafemi. I worry that if you're going to put Obafemi in there with a popular guy, that the mystique starts to get taken away even further.
We're looking at this way too seriously. We're looking at this way as like a main eventer is going to win King of the Ring when it's always kind of been that mid-card goof stuff.
It was Cody Rhodes last year.
That's true. I know, but
the King of the Ring is a different thing. You also have to have an important match, because the final happens because
it happens
at Clash
to be
of the Champions.
Yeah, it happened. Okay, never mind. But
neither of the guys on this side are going to win.
No,
because the winner is coming out of the next four way.
Correct.
Javon Evans, Tala Tonga, Ricky Saints. Now it ain't any of the fuck of them.
No.
And Seth Rollins.
Yes,
Seth
he's
Rollins
winning King
is winning
of the
this
Ring
tournament.
Yes, he
Seth
is.
Seth Rollins is winning this tournament. He's going to do some kick ass spots with Javon Evans. He's probably going to do the stomp on Tala Tonga. It's going to look hilarious. Ricky Saints is going to get the fuck beat out of him from everyone, and that'll be cool.
This Saints
is a very interesting four-way.
Saints is getting the curb stomp on him by Rollins and getting pinned, I think.
I think Seth Rollins curb stomping everyone, except for maybe Javon. I think Javon's going to do some flippy shit to get out of a curb stomp, and it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
But Seth Rollins is likely winning this tournament, and he's coming out of this match. Who he faces in the next round will be interesting, because it's honestly three of these guys, any of these three out of these four would be super interesting matches to put up against Seth Rollins. You're going to have Jey Uso, L.A. Knight, Royce Keyes, and Finn Balor in your final qualifying match for the tournament here. I say Jey Uso because you still don't know what's going on with the Bloodline storyline. Is Jey Uso going to be a heel or a babyface? Like, it's been four straight years we've wondered if Jey Uso's turning heel at some point. And probably no better time than now. LA Knight getting back into there when he's not really been seen from since WrestleMania, and even his WrestleMania match wasn't anything to write home about, being in the six-man tag. Royce Keyes, who's starting to get some life, they were teasing him potentially being in the world title picture. And then, of course, Finn Balor, who's kind of on the rise up after being out of the Judgment Day. I'm going to guess Seth Rollins is going up against one of these. Seth Rollins will win, but a very interesting matchup in your second round from any of these winners.
Also interesting, they're categorizing Balor as a SmackDown guy now.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah, okay. Well, on my Fightful bracket, there's two Raw and two SmackDown. It says Finn Balor's now in SmackDown. So that that could be very interesting for that side, given, you know, Cody needs a guy to go to dance with for a bit.
I don't think Finn's ready for that yet. I don't think Finn's ready for that.
But when I looked at this bracket originally, I thought, okay, Solo and Jey Uso for the King of the Ring. I just thought it was going to be that. But I'm going to go out on a limb. I think LA Knight wins this.
Okay.
For some reason, because they've been giving him the mini push.
Well, if he goes up against Seth, too, I mean, there's unfinished business with Seth.
Yes,
LA Knight won the last singles match with Seth Rollins. He won the last singles match. So.
And then Seth gets his revenge in that round. Yeah, that's
there
perfect.
You go. So there's some interesting fact there. Yeah, when I first, because I had up the old Wikipedia, they had not had the Raw and SmackDown color scheme yet, but now they have added that. Yes, Finn Balor on the SmackDown side. So that is my prediction is Seth Rollins. I think he's going to do it. There's only so many times in this tournament that you can make angles out of it. I think they're going to do the Brock Lesnar thing with Obafemi. They could do a Roman Reigns thing with Solo, even though I don't really see that happening. I don't think Roman Reigns is challenging anyone. It's like whoever wins this, Seth Rollins is going up against Roman Reigns.
Okay, so who do you have on the other side then?
I think Seth Rollins is going to go up against in the final. It's going to be Penta.
Okay. That's a good
match. I see Brock Lesnar sticking around in Turin and kicking Obafemi's ass and challenging him right then and there and making the first match official for SummerSlam. Penta somehow squeaks out of it, maybe pinning like a Carmelo. And then Solo just moves on. He doesn't have to be in the King of the Ring tournament to go on to potentially face Roman Reigns at some point. But next, I think, is going to be Seth Rollins. I mean, we can even see something like that on Raw, where it's like, don't look ahead to the King of the Ring, Roman Reigns. I'm going to win it, and I'm going to challenge you, you asshole. So we could
let me posit this though. How about Seth versus Oba, and that's where Brock comes out.
Oh, that would be a big one. I mean, that would be a big one for Saudi Arabia. Seth versus Oba leading into that show. I could see that. And then because the show was on ESPN, like you have, you know, some Brock Lesnar interference, even if he's just going all the way to Saudi Arabia to not wrestle and to just do a run-in. We could potentially see that. But there's some interesting ways things can go here. And I don't know if I think we're gonna probably see two of these matches on Raw this week and two of the matches on SmackDown. I obviously cannot be watching the post show of the pay-per-view right now as we're recording, but I would assume they'll split those up. Plenty of time to do it. On the Queen of the Ring side, the very first qualifier is the one I'm most interested in here, although there's a couple of interesting ones. Liv Morgan versus Alexa Bliss versus Chelsea Green versus Becky Lynch. Liv and Becky Lynch being in the same match here, I could see that catapulting to a potential world title match for Becky Lynch.
Yeah, because Liv has the title on the other brand. It's Becky here.
It almost makes me wonder, like, is Liv Morgan not the champion? Like, why is she in the Queen of the Ring tournament where the winner gets a title match?
Liv,
who's the women's
belts.
Champion on Raw? It's Liv Morgan, right?
Yeah. And then Rhea's the champ here? And then Rhea's the champ on SmackDown.
Yeah, but Rhea isn't in the Queen of the Ring tournament. Why the hell is Liv Morgan in this tournament?
I don't know.
Like, you don't have any of the title holders in the tournament on the men's side.
No.
You don't have Cody Rhodes in this tournament. You don't have Roman Reigns in this tournament. What the hell is Liv Morgan doing in this tournament? Is it because she's last year's Queen of the Ring and they just wanted to... What is happening? I'm so confused. What is happening? The winner of last year's Queen of the Ring was Jade Cargill, so it wasn't even Liv Morgan. I don't know.
I think it's going to be a story where Liv enters into the Queen of the Ring because she wants both belts.
Okay. Current champion Rhea Ripley, list of the women's titles. I'm so confused. Like, who is our champion? And she's the world champion. Liv Morgan is the women's world champion.
Yes.
What the hell? Why is she in this tournament? It's just to kick off this Becky Lynch feud, right?
Yes.
It's got to be just to kick that off. Oh, that's weird. But yeah, you have Liv, Becky, Alexa, and Chelsea Green. I'm going to go ahead and say Alexa Bliss wins this one.
Okay.
And you have some side action with Liv and Becky, and then Chelsea Green's just there to be Chelsea Green.
Huh.
Your second qualifier, Sol Ruka, back in action here against the woman that she's practically a clone of, Charlotte Flair, against the woman that she's feuding with, Jade Cargill, and just Lyra Valkyria there to take the fall.
The bird girl. Yeah. Well, you have Alexa on yours, so I would figure Charlotte Flair probably versus Alexa in that thing, and we do that. Can they still coexist after this story?
I see fine. Jade Cargill. I see Jade Cargill coming out of this four-way, probably stealing a pin from Charlotte Flair.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jade Cargill and Alexa is just a continuation of the Jade and Charlotte feud.
Right.
See what happens there. And then maybe Jade Cargill loses the final. I could see them putting Jade Cargill in Saudi Arabia for the second time in a row in the title match, which means if that all happens, the winner is going to come out of the second group of four ways. We'll see if there's anyone viable who can come out of this. Roxanne Perez is going to take on Julia, Lash Legend, and Io Sky.
Boy, it was tempting to me to have all three Judgment Day people in the quarters or whatever it is, or the semis. But yeah. I think they're working to Io and Rhea.
I really do. I think Io is going to go up on this one and probably take the tournament. Because again, I think the winner has to come from this side of the bracket.
Mm-hmm.
And the second four way doesn't scream to me anyone who could win this tournament. The second four way, or the final four way, is Bayley, Raquel, JC Jane, and Kiana James.
I think JC Jane takes this because they've been giving her a heck of a push on SmackDown. I think they're gonna put her in there with Io, see what she can do, and but she's gonna lose that match. But I think I see JC Jane winning this one.
Yeah, so you got some interesting brackets there. Again, a lot of angles that can come out of this for matches at Saturday night's main event and eventually on to SummerSlam potentially, or just future matches on Raw and SmackDown.
So Charlotte, Io in the finals?
I think so. Yeah, if Charlotte. Well, no, I have Jade.
Or have Becky, Jade winning. Becky Io in the finals for me because I didn't have Alexa in there. I think Becky and Io is the match in Saudi Arabia.
It very well could. You could do Jade Cargill possibly losing to Alexa, and then you have Alexa and Io mm-hmm. in Saudi Arabia, and Jade and Charlotte go off on their feud after that. There's a lot of different ways you can go about it. I think Io Sky is going to win. I think Io Sky is coming out of it. Who she faces in the finals... There's literally a bunch of names here. She could face Liv Morgan, you know, and they can really build that story that Liv Morgan's going for both belts. She can face Becky Lynch because Becky Lynch has nothing else to do right now. She can face Charlotte Flair or Jade Cargill. You know who she's not going to be facing is Lyra Valkyria. Lyra Valkyria is losing that first match, never to be seen again. She's out of there for sure. So there's a lot of different ways you can go about it, but those are your King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring brackets. That is Clash in Italy. Does everything that's happening right now with, you know, AAA last night, did you watch the mask versus mask match?
I did. It was phenomenal.
Chad Gable being revealed. Chad Edward Gable from Minneapolis, Minnesota, was under the mask the whole time. Who would have thought that? He was revealed as the original El Grande Americano in a match that had a shit ton of blood.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no one got poor Chad Gable a towel when that match was over. He's just bleeding profusely. Can't see, keeps wiping his eyes. Can't do anything, to doing the promo of his life effectively in front of a Mexican crowd who is understanding. I love that the translation happened after everything Chad Gable said and no one reacted, because everyone reacted when Chad Gable was talking, because everyone knew what he was saying and knew the importance of what he was saying. El Grande Americano.
That crowd was phenomenal.
The crowd was great. I mean, why weren't they? And you got dorks on the internet saying, oh, WWE puts two white guys in a Mexican feud. I'm like, well, this crowd in Mexico fucking loved it.
Uh-huh.
And it was great television. A lot of cool angles taking place that even if you weren't a WWE watcher, like, you could understand the importance of it. No, the AAA show on YouTube last night was the best WWE show of the weekend. It was fantastic. I stayed up mm-hmm. and watched that as well as the Dodgers, and it was much better than that Dodgers game, I will say.
Hey, everybody. My name is Jesse Collins, and I am the host of the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, a show right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we take a deep look at individual issues and stories that are going on in the wrestling world. Each episode is about a different topic, and we take a thorough and educated look at things ranging from current booking trends to breakdowns of individual performers and angles to investigations into different fan cultures across the industry. In addition, we keep a close eye on the wrestling media, and as a professional journalist, I bring a unique perspective to how current issues in wrestling are being covered and discussed through the wrestling media. We have a revolving series of guests from across wrestling punditry joining us on each episode, and we hope that you make the choice to give us a listen on wherever you get your podcast from.